All we need is a little understanding. Walk a mile in their shoes. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride called life. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride. This wild ride called life.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Truths We Hide podcast. I am in my feels right now because our guest on here today, Michael, Shu. Michael Shu. I should have asked that before. Hey, it's
no life. No problem.
Because he has created something that is so powerful. And the first thing I want to mention is his business, Healing from the Ground Up. We were just having a conversation.
Heal from the ground up.
I'm getting it all wrong today. Heal from the ground up, you guys. About starting from the deep roots of your childhood all the way up into the present. And I'm really honored to have him on here today to talk about all this real stuff, because it's powerful. And at the end of this, we're going to talk about all the social media you need to follow him on, because I just went and found him on Instagram, and you guys are going to, you're going to want it. You're going to want to read it. You want to follow it. It's amazing. So thank you, Michael, for being here. Thank you for doing what you do. This is not easy to talk about for a lot of people. And so for you to be able to do this is going to be really powerful for the audience. So please tell us about yourself, where you grew up, and how you came to be here.
I grew up in Southern California. But I guess to relate to, you know, what we wanted, would like to include today is that, actually, I'll first start with when my child was born, because my child is 1.5 years old, because it relates to the time that, you know, I came into this earth. And when he was born, it triggered terrible insomnia. I would sleep 3 or 4 hours a day, and I'd wake up either to change a diaper or could go to the restroom. And immediately upon waking up, I feared I wouldn't be able to go back to sleep. Yeah, they just came home. So.
And there he is.
Yeah. And so, what? That happened. My son was born in Czech Republic, so that, because my wife has free access to healthcare there, and that happened for 2 months. And wake up 3 or 4 hours, change a diaper, or I had to go to a restroom, and I feared I wouldn't be able to go back to sleep. And that typically happened. I didn't go back to sleep. And I thought my worst fear was, oh, I'm going to die. And I didn't understand why was this fear and this thought, this experience so, it was so consuming. Why was it happening? No matter I work in this field, how come I couldn't let it go or understand it? And then 2 months later, when I went back to the US, my parents had picked us up at the airport, and we all had dinner together that same night. And we shared stories on how me and my wife raised our newborn and how my parents raised me as a newborn. And I found out for the first time ever that my mother never took care of me throughout the night as a newborn, because she was scared if I were to wake her up, she wouldn't go back to sleep and she would die. She has obsessive fear around health, safety, and death. And so I realized I felt and internalized her fear, pain, and trauma as a newborn, and repeated the same exact pain and trauma 39 years later when I had my own newborn. And so that's where, like, I think the story began, and then it re-began.
Yeah. How did that make you feel when you heard all that?
I was like, no wonder. Like, no wonder. Because I'm very, I have a lot of unresolved issues that I didn't know about with my mother. In my, I like to share pictures of me holding signs, and I do it on my Instagram page. And one of them is, I control my wife because of what I could not fix in my mother as a child. What that meant is, my mother had very severe panic disorder, hyperventilations, crying and screaming in terror. She'd wake me up in the middle of the night, and I was 10 years old, and it would happen weekly. And she would ask me to have me console her while my father would stand in the corner of the room feeling helpless because he didn't know how to connect to his emotions. So I had to be the mother for my mother, that I had to be the mother that she never had, and I had to be her husband because my dad did not connect to his emotions. Because of that, because I was responsible for her pain as a child, I really absorbed whatever issues that she had, and she made me responsible for them. Like, she's always like projecting her fear of death onto me and making me responsible, like, do this, do that, and just vomit until this day. So I easily find myself in her movie. So the book I recently released is Whose Movie Are You In? Transform Your Intergenerational Trauma into Your Source of Light. So that helped me understand, like, hearing that story, like, oh, I was in her movie. No wonder I can't fix it because it's not my movie.
That's so powerful. But with all these things, what made you, 'cause this is not easy to talk about. There's a lot of us who deal with a lot of family issues that we would never want to put out there into the world. So how did you come to the point where you were like, you know what, I need to say something. I want to share this. Then how did your family react?
I mean, it happened in stages. I remember like a few years back when I started telling her, I'm like, I do want to share some of this stuff. And then she's like, I'm going to sue you. But come till today, she's like, we were FaceTiming each other. And then she's like, oh, you know, like, I can't believe you had the time to write, you know, a second book. And would I be, you know, can I read it? And it's like, you see, call out your mother. Like, she's like, oh, how many books has your first book sold? And I told her, and she's like, oh, do you see calling out your mother and being angry with her? Like, look how much has that helped you. Look how many copies you've sold because of, as she made out, she's a lighthearted comment. So she's, I think it's come a long way. But to answer your question on a more, like a deeper level is, to be vulnerable was very difficult for me, especially in my struggles. I have a lot of fears around insomnia. I have a fears around appearance, losing hair, and there's some other things, like, I don't know, feeling like this, just constant feeling of failure. Like, I'm trying to follow my dream and like, oh, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And my wife nudged me a few months back. She's like, you got to be public about this. And so on my personal Facebook profile, I posted about it, very like just raw vulnerability. And it was very releasing for me. A lot of people really resonated with it, and that helped me because I, as a child, I was a conditioned servant. I was conditioned to be responsible for the people who are supposed to be responsible for me. So very key, self-care is very difficult for me because I'm so used to that role. I'm so used to like, this is me, my wife, and my kid in we're living in Taiwan now, and then we past few months we started having this thing where she has 5 hours to herself and I take care of the baby, and or I have 5 hours to myself. When I have those 5 hours, I get a little panicky in the first 1 or 2 hours because I don't know what to do. I'm so used to serving. So back to that point of that post, was it was breaking that model, breaking that conditioning that I exist only to take care of others. So that was very releasing.
I can imagine. And especially as men are perceived to be strong, right? So for you to release that, I'm sure it's helped so many other men finally break free and go, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one. I can now talk about it. Have you had other men come to you and thank you for just starting that conversation?
I think that's true for men. Like they don't really get in touch with their emotions, but just that's true. But just in general, I think we're not good at being true with our feelings. We want to avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we're in resistance, control, worry, and fear, we are avoiding our feelings.
Right.
But one thing I shared in a sign recently is, you become what you avoid.
Mm.
Yeah, I forgot the exact quote. But this is like human nature. We always want to get rid of the feeling, but the feelings are a part of who we are. And so when we try to get rid of the feeling, if we try to avoid our feelings, we're abandoning ourselves. Like how you treat your feelings is how you treat yourself. And I think it's just human nature. Also, it's born out of childhood trauma, because it's like a child will experience something negative and they're too young to process it, and it's too much, so they just shut everything down. So their go-to, and we take it into our adult life, is to suppress our feelings or to project to avoid our feelings.
You are so right. I'm sitting here thinking about all the things you're saying, because I finally have been able to, it's not complete, but I'm 45 and I'm finally being able to speak about all the childhood things and why I am the way I am now. And so it's hard because we got used to suppressing it. Well, because of my culture too, you kept everything and you don't talk about your stuff. Like you keep that in the house. You don't tell everybody your business. But with social media, we can now tell everybody our business. But we do it, I think for you and I, we do it in a way to try to help other people and help ourselves, right? It's not just go and rant. But how is self-care now then? I know you said the first couple hours you get antsy, but has it gotten better over time? And what do you do for yourself during those 5 hours?
I mean, I learned many layers of it, you know, and I just bought two books on it on Kindle. And I was reading it tonight. I think it begins with putting yourself first, because the most common trauma, it's like, I call it the emotional trauma. We think trauma is limited to something physical, like sexual abuse or PTSD from war. But there's the emotional trauma is not talked about, and it's very, very pervasive. I think it happens in almost every home. And what happens is, let's say a child says or does something that triggers unresolved pain in a parent, the parent says, well, the child needs to change their behavior. By doing that, they make the child thereby responsible for their pain. And the child then has to sacrifice their sense of self, their soul, and then they grow up feeling responsible for others. They put themselves last. So it begins with one sign. I haven't released it yet, but it would say putting yourself first reverses the childhood trauma of role reversal between parent and child.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just really,
Having said that, it's difficult.
Yeah.
I'm still learning. Like I started, I was like, reading the book. I was like, you know, my room's like, it's kind of messy. And I was like, the part of self-care is decluttering, taking care of your space, taking care of your, I work so much. I don't invest a lot of times in friends and relationships that I really vibe with, especially as I'm moving from place to place. And it reminded me of that. And I started reaching out to people. And so that was all part of self-care. I was doing push-up. I don't have any equipment here, but I was doing push-up, squats to take care of myself physically. So that was all things I was doing to embrace that self-care today, just now. Yeah.
No, I love all that. And I really appreciate that you said that trauma doesn't have to be physical. It's emotional too. And we tend to forget that. We don't think about stuff like that. I keep looking over at your Instagram page because he has these powerful signs. Tell us about that. Why did you decide to start putting these powerful words on these signs and showing them off like this?
I don't know. I just it drew me to that. Even when I proposed to my wife, I did it with signs. Like it was like I had her friend videotape it, and then I had signs, and then sign by sign, she was reading it out loud.
I love that.
So, but it's a really powerful way to communicate an idea. I wish more people would do it.
You're absolutely right. You put those words out there and it's such a different meaning than just saying them. You're actually like putting it out there for everyone to see. But even when I was reading them, I was like, oh my gosh, these are so, they just really speak to you. So it is, there's something about these signs that you're putting out there. So keep doing that. It's wonderful. What made you start Heal from the Ground Up?
I mean, this is a long journey because I've been doing it for, I think, 12 years. I started off as a holistic health practitioner. So okay. I was helping people with their physical issues from a holistic approach. But my real ambition and passion was emotional healing and trauma healing. But I never had confidence that I could do that. But it took like a breakup in a relationship where I was able to understand things. And that gave me confidence to really go forward. And that's when I did it. And it came very natural to me. But the vision of Heal from the Ground Up is to go to the absolute root of it all. Because you can't really make changes, true changes, unless you go to the root of it all. And it sounds grand, but I have to be honest with how I feel, and it's to heal the core of our families, our homes, our past generations, and society in our world. I think what's happening in the world is a symptom of what's happening in our homes.
No, you're right, and it takes a lot of wanting to heal for us to see that, right? Because we're so used to it. That's how we grew up. So we don't even think about it. It's incredible. So what was the first book that you wrote?
I can say it, but I don't know if your podcast allows for playful profanity.
Go ahead. We share everything here.
Okay. It's You Are the Fucking Shit. Heal Your Anxiety, Anger, and Depression from the Ground Up.
I like that.
Yeah.
And so what was that one about?
That was about using like a actual process, step-by-step process. My second book does that, but onto a much higher degree. I call it like the emotional strength fist process. And it helps you get in touch with your feelings because we're so thinking and overthinking to avoid our feelings. And then I is to identify those feelings because the mantra that helps us center ourselves from we want to start from point A. The mantra goes, problems bring up feelings in us that existed before the problem ever happened. So it's like about the thinking mind, the racing mind that says, it is the problem causing you the negative emotion, negative feeling. So if you fix the problem, you'll fix the feeling. But the reality is the feeling preceded the problem. So even if you fix the problem, the core issue, the core negative feeling still exists. And it's going to say something negative about you, but it's not true about who you really are. It's about cutting the head off the snake. It's about pulling out the weeds so it doesn't overtake your yard. And so that's the process. And then S is like separation, separate from what does belong to you. And when you apply the same process to identify the feelings, it's a PEWF proof process. Problem, emotion. So like, okay, I have sleep problems. Emotion, anxiety. W is worst fear, worst case scenario. Stretch it all the way. Oh, I'm going to die. F is feeling about the self. Well, if your worst fear came true, how would it make you feel about who you are? You have three feelings: failure, failing others, or worthlessness, which is like I don't matter, I'm alone, people don't care about me. Even the fear of death, because if you die, you cease to exist. Or powerless, because you feel immensely responsible for others, or just you just need to be in control. And once you identify your feelings, you apply the same proof process to each one of your parents. And what you'll realize, you'll have the same feeling. And you're like, oh, I'm absorbing that. And the second book, Whose Movie You're In, goes even deeper, because it goes into grandparents and goes into intergenerational stuff.
That's incredible. So how do you help your clients that come to work with you? How does that process work? And does it work? Because sometimes it might not, but tell us about that a little bit.
They will come to me with whatever's going on in their life. I work with a lot of individuals, but I always relate it to this relationships, marriages, family unit. And if anything's related to, I relate things to like childhood, intergenerational stuff. And there's so many different, but typically it's like that childhood trauma of role reversal is very, very prevalent. And then what helps people know is like, well, stuff that happened way before me, I am affected by that. And it really helps people release. So for example, one of the examples I used in the book, his name was Jigrit. So I had podcasters who actually volunteered themselves. And he had this immense fear of driving. He was a college student. He only had driven twice, and it was in a parking lot. He's even scared to cross the crosswalk because he's scared that car's going to hit him. And the trauma that was rooted, that this was all rooted in, was because his family was from India and Pakistan during the Great Partition. When they separated, there was this mass migration between like Muslims and non-secular. And during that mass migration, a lot of people were murdered, died of starvation. There was rape. Just like, I think 1 or 2 million people died. And his grandparents experienced that when they were like only 5 years old. His great-grandparents were the ones really in it. And so when he's in that driver's wheel, he is in his grandparents' and his great-grandparents' movies as his own, fearing death. And so knowing that, he can kind of release from that.
How is he now? Were you able to help him through that?
I mean, I talked to a lot of people for the book.
Yeah.
So I didn't like check in with all of them.
Yeah.
But with my clients, I can share more, but I can't really share. But
no, it's okay. Private
stuff. Right. But it's really interesting that people like I work with families, I work with like some young kids, and they're in the movie of their great-grandparents. Wow. Even though they never met them and never heard of the story, like in the exact same traumatic incident.
That's so interesting. It's like, it is like a movie. It's stuff that you would see in the movies. You would never even imagine that can really happen. That's crazy. Now I want to go back and dig into my life. I'm sitting here thinking, well, I wonder.
You kind of think about, okay, so you think, okay, you identify your core negative feelings. You see your parents have the same core negative feeling. And what the book talks about, in the second book, it goes in a deeper level. It says, okay, your parents' feelings were there before you were born.
Yeah.
So what trauma that happened in their childhood or happened to their parents that planted the seed to it all?
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Oh my
gosh. So I had one lady, her name is Tia, and she was transitioning from a steady job to being an entrepreneur. And as an entrepreneur, each day is different. You have to create your own way. And so she's really fearful that she's going to fail. But at a deeper fear is that she's not in control.
Oh, yeah.
And she needs to be in control. Like her daughter, she has enough clothes for her to wear a different outfit for 3 weeks in a row. But her daughter will wear one outfit Monday and wear the same exact outfit 3 days later, and it drives her crazy. Or her boyfriend won't seem like she's talking to her boyfriend, and maybe he's not listening to her like maybe he's thinking about something else. She'll get angry because, again, she's not in control. And so that need to be in control, what is the trauma behind all that? When she was 1 month old, her mother's sister, her aunt, was murdered by her own husband, strangled to death. And he was a serial killer. So he had did this many times before. So the powerless feeling that need to be in control, in many ways, comes from the trauma of the family of losing their loved ones from the most unexpected person, which would be her husband.
Wow.
No. This is like half of there's two sides of the coin. There's that ancestral vibration, intergenerational trauma, but also there's childhood stuff. And that's the other side of the coin. So I don't want to make people feel like it's all about this.
Right. So now I'm curious, what did you want to be when you were a kid? What did you envision yourself doing when you were all grown up?
I had no, to do this line of work, I never thought it would be possible. I'm the person, like in college, I bothered one of my really good friends because I would always ask her for advice. I would ask, like, I didn't trust my own self. I would ask 10 people for advice. If you had told me like back then what I would be doing now, I think you would be crazy.
What did you study in college?
I mean, I didn't know what I really wanted to do. I wanted to be a teacher, but they didn't have education as a major. And I picked Chinese literature because I was studying literature and language as I was studying abroad in Beijing. I forgot what I was going to say. But there's this feeling of failure, not being able to trust myself, is very pervasive until this day. Like when I'm writing my books, like the whole time I'm writing, like, oh, it's gonna fail. I'm not writing it correctly. Or I'm trying to build my platform currently so I can spread my message to the world. And I was like, oh, it's not gonna work out. When things don't go my way, it's not gonna work out. Oh, and I overreact, I get self-defeated. One reason, not the whole thing, but one reason is my mother was very controlling and injected fear to the point that I felt like I would be incompetent without her. What do I mean by this? Financial independence was something that was always important to me, especially when I started my own family. I never thought it felt like something that was so far away. And then so a year ago, me and my wife decided just to go to the Czech Republic to be there for like maybe a month or 2 months. And because the lockdowns got so bad, a pandemic, and we decided to stay there longer. And then I was able to support myself and my family very easily. And I was like, wow, I didn't know it was possible, because I was in the comfort zone, the shelter of my parents, of my mother's. It's because she's like, oh, I need to be in their safety net to be able to make it. And that's why I felt like I was incompetent. I can't make it on my own. And it's like this programming, like she's always telling me, watch out for this. Like I cannot take care of myself. She even, like, because I didn't listen to her all the time, she took me to an ADHD clinic. Cause like my listening comprehension in her eyes wasn't good enough. She would always say like, oh, your math SAT score is very high, but your verbal score is, you know, it's very average. So because your comprehension is not good, because I'm not listening and abiding by her fears all the time. And so taking me to an ADHD clinic, I had viral neural feedback, you know, that I would go once a week. And then a year after that, I started having this fear. I'm not able to comprehend what other people are saying. I'm not able to comprehend what I'm reading. I'm not able to express myself well enough because of that experience. So, I don't want to think too much about it, but that's part of it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, certainly life certainly can change right before your eyes, and that you don't even know. Like now look what you're doing. You're helping other people after you were just trying to figure out your own stuff.
Yeah. Constantly trying to working within myself, and whatever I learn, I'll make into a sign. I'll write into a book. That's what I've been doing.
No, that's incredible. And it is powerful. Not anybody can do that. It's really hard to talk about your feelings. So now that you've been able to do that, you're really helping other people to really dig deep and be comfortable. So you created this safe space for people to do that and to almost like give them permission to say, it's okay, you can. And so it's really great. What are some of the things that you would like to leave to those that are watching or listening to this that are struggling?
I highly recommend checking out that second book, Whose Movie Are You In? People who have been reading it, they're loving it. And it's like a step-by-step, there's like a system, a format for them to follow to make it easy. And it is riddled with examples and coaching dialogues. So I recorded people, and then like you can see the actual dialogue, or there's like summaries of examples, so you can see a lot of people. And then it's almost like a workbook, because there's questions in that process and they go step by step.
Wow, that's people, awesome.
Let me see. Just I got this. Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody just shared with. I'm sorry. I can't find it.
It's okay.
I can't find it. But I just get a lot of good. You can edit this out, maybe.
Yeah.
Let me pull it out. Like I went on somebody else's podcast, Open Up and Speak, and then she got the book and she's been reading it. And she posts on my Instagram page talking about it. She says, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate your book. Whose Movie Are You In? I've been taking time out at least a few times per week, per month. And I open the book and I do a few pages at a time and then reflect on what I'm feeling. Today was one of those days where I sat at a park all by myself, staring across the lake and writing out my answers in the workbook. Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast and writing this book. It's been a great reminder and an insightful look at myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You're doing incredible work. It's certainly a blessing to so many people. What is next for you? What do you foresee with everything that you're doing?
I want to, you know, keep cultivating this platform. So, because I know it's important to create an impact on the world, and it's important to have a platform to do so. So I'm doing that and continuing whatever I'm experiencing, feeling, or struggling, keep learning and growing from that, and then creating messages out of that. There's another book I'm just in the works, which is I'm not sure. I think it's probably called "Put Yourself First: Reversing the Childhood Trauma Role Reversal Between Parent and Child." But then, I'm focusing on self-care at the moment.
Oh, that's
and reading about it.
No, that's so important. It really is. We forget about that so much.
Yeah.
So where can people find your books?
Just on Amazon.
On Amazon. Yeah.
You Are the Fucking Shit or Whose Movie Are You In?
I love it. Yeah. And And you can also find him on healfromthegroundup.com and Instagram, healfromthegroundup. And anywhere else that I'm missing?
That's pretty much it. I used to have a podcast, Heal from the Ground Up. It's still up there, but I'm not as active on it. I'm more active on Instagram. So yeah, I highly recommend following the page because I keep posting new content.
I love it. It's really great, you guys. You need to go look at that. But I thank you so much for Michael for gosh, just starting from within and what? Healing from the ground up. Yes, for yourself and for other people. So I can't wait to see what's next. And yeah, say thank you so much for being on here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for I love connecting with other like-minded souls and just having a good time.
Yes, absolutely.
And good conversation, yeah.
I wish you all the best on whatever's next.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the True Sweet High podcast, created and founded by your host, Annette, the founder of A Wild Ride Call Life. Also, a big thank you to all of our sponsors for each and every episode that is aired. We have so much support from them and all of our listeners. You can find more information at www.awildridecalllife.com.